Well, I'm pretty excited about this because I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan. They've announced that they're going to do Indiana Jones 5, but it's been pushed back. The release date has been pushed back to 2021. Harrison Ford is starring as Indiana Jones again.
Really?
Yes. He will be 98 when it's released in 2021. And so, you guys big Indiana Jones fans?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, it was fine.
Okay, when you think of your Uber male that you... Like, who's in your pantheon of Uber males?
Eddie Merckx. Uncle Drew.
Okay, different lists here.
Roger Staubach. The Edge.
Really? Is The Edge in yours?
No, probably not. Eddie Merckx, yes.
Dirk. See, I think Indiana Jones is in mine. And then I'd probably put somebody like... who else would be next?
We're talking fictional characters, though, right? Or real life?
No, it can be real life, okay. Too.
Real life? Han Solo?
No, see, I take Indy over Han Solo because, see, Indy also had the professor thing. He was smart, too. He was brain and action.
Uber male from the world of
maybe
movies.
Maybe we should table that and come up with our list.
That's a good one.
Does James Bond count, or is there
too
many
James
actors?
Bond would count. I think you could use that character.
I immediately thought Jason Bourne. It's a pretty good one.
No, but is that in yours? I'm asking one. Growing up, when you wanted to be a guy, it was just a guy that you... I mean, it didn't have to be when you were growing up, but a lot of us, that's where we were most impressed by someone.
Growing up, it was probably Captain Kirk.
Curly Howard.
Oh, God.
I thought Captain Kirk was the coolest because he was in command. He knew space karate. He could get out of any situation.
Space karate's a real thing.
He thought through things as well.
Got all the ladies.
Captain Kirk was probably my number one as a kid.
You know, all mine were from the world of sports. I can't think I looked up to anyone like in film or TV like, oh, man, that's my ultimate hero.
What about someone like Da Vinci? Did you ever study someone in history's life and just go, man, that guy was the ultimate guy?
Ernest Hemingway was that way for me.
Hemingway, Lincoln, there's a good one.
Lincoln, Churchill. Yeah, one that I can't name anymore.
What?
Hitler?
No.
You can't name him anymore?
Not Hitler. He was not on my list.
What?
I don't know if I can say it anymore.
Why?
Who?
If you idolize him, you idolize him.
I didn't necessarily idolize him. I was very interested in him.
Well, who are you
up.
Talking about?
He was a general for a...
Who?
A side.
A general.
What was his last name? Just give us his last name. Don't...
Himmler?
He's one of our...
Goring?
You know, he's American.
Goring? Patton?
He was American except for about a four-year period, and he...
Oh, no, he's talking about Robert E. Lee. Wow.
You worship Robert E. Lee?
Well, I didn't necessarily worship him, but I was very... He was...
You just knelt down to him all the time.
No. I was... As a kid, I was very interested in Robert E. Lee. Okay, so all right, okay, fire me. All right, good.
Anyway, we'll move on now.
He is one of the most brilliant generals in our nation's history. He graduated from our military academy. He is an American.
No.
Yes, he is.
A traitor
fought
to this country.
Fought against America.
For 4 years, yes, he did. He also...
What do you mean for 4 years? It's pretty important 4 years.
Yeah, it was.
It's not changing conferences.
He fought against America and for slavery.
That's not necessarily what he fought for.
States' rights.
Oh,
you give
so,
us that.
Yeah, U.S. Grant was really on board with getting rid of slavery. Everyone for the Union was trying to abolish slavery.
Is that a way to defend the South?
Well,
you should
I don't
have
think
just
there's
stuck
much
with,
defense of the North
You
either.
Should have just stuck with Hitler.
No, not really. There's a big difference.
So anyway, so mine's Indiana Jones.
Mine's Captain
Fake
Kirk.
Character.
Yours
Fake
is
character.
Hitler or General Robert E. Lee.
No, I didn't say Hitler.
Anyway, Uber males. Yeah, so the new Indiana Jones in 2021. Okay, count the red flags in this story, Craig. And you too, Giorgio. You're pretty good at spotting red flags.
Okay.
Now, I had this right before we went on vacation, and I couldn't use it because we ran out of time. but it's always relevant. A homeless man.
One.
Wait, which one?
Because homeless.
He may have been a happy homeless man.
No.
Just because you're homeless doesn't mean your wheels are off.
Pretty much it does.
A homeless man, officers
two,
found
three,
naked
four,
and covered
five,
in Vaseline
six,
in someone's home
seven,
has been charged
eight,
with indecent
nine,
exposure,
ten,
and
11, because there's another one coming,
other charges
12.
So officers were called to this house where a citizen, it says here, had allowed Lloyd Clay, a 60-year-old man, to stay at their residence due to Clay's known homelessness. Have you ever let someone stay at your home due to their known homelessness?
No way.
God.
No, I don't think so.
Shortly after the 60-year-old Lloyd Clay entered the home, he began acting weird and took off his clothes. He then began attempting to have sex with the victim, who had tried repeatedly to kick him out. And when officers got there, they found Clay in the living room, naked on his hands and knees, covered in Vaseline, and touching himself. On his hands and knees, and then he's, I guess, working his udder.
Wow. How old is he?
60. So,
wow.
60, so he's already undergone the change of life. Despite the officer's presence, Clay continued to repeat sexual statements.
He was ignoring them?
Yes.
Come on, man.
He repeated these statements.
You smell good. Let me see that.
And
I'd like to lollipop you.
It's a verb, action verb you do to a lollipop. He was saying
Come
these
on,
statements
man.
Repeatedly as he crawled across the floor. With officers there. Officers said they could smell alcohol coming from Clay.
Of course.
Who said that he had, quote, smoked some of that good weed, end quote. They detained him, put his pants on after he refused to do it himself. And then while they had him detained, he kept making sexual statements. Making thrusting motions and attempting to touch himself. And so they took him to the hospital.
60 years ago, when Mr. and Mrs. Clay brought home their bundle of joy from the hospital and imagined the world that was in front of their newborn and what he might become, did they ever imagine that 60 years down the road, he would be homeless, covered in Vaseline, naked, and doing thrusting motions in front of cops as they were arresting him.
Saying, I'd like to lick that.
Did that ever enter their mind?
No. When they brought him home from the hospital and they projected him to being a 60-year-old, they imagined him reclining in his Supreme Court robe, putting a pipe in his mouth and thinking. Very far from this. Hey, speaking of good questions, this is a book that I read over our vacation, and a P1 sent me this. I'll read the note that he attached to it. It said, Gordon, I just finished this book and thought it might be something you'd love. Showing Real Human Behavior and Thoughts, signed Brian. And the book is called Everybody Lies, and it's about big data and what the internet tells us about who we really are. And it is fascinating because this dude is he is a Harvard-trained economist, and he's a data scientist that wrote this book. And it's about how we have access to information now with having access to people's data collected through search engines and so on that we've never had in the history of humankind. We have an insight into people that they don't even have themselves because they don't analyze their behavior like we can with the data that comes from their internet searches, and and it's a truth serum, right? The things you Google are things you're really worried about.
Right.
They're your innermost thoughts, stuff that people don't tell their wives, their husbands, friends. And it was a fascinating read. I loved this book, and I figured I'd give you a few stats about sex.
I love your information.
About sex.
Okay.
From the internet. 20% of the pornographic videos watched by women on Pornhub are lesbian. 20% of the adult material that women choose to watch are lesbian. 25% of female searches for straight porn emphasize pain or humiliation of the woman. See, these are the things that are interesting because it's contrary to the cultural narrative, which is that patriarchy, men are subjecting women, men just see women as sex objects. That's what men
get off on.
And it's a man problem. And then they look and they find out that it's 25% of women's searches when they're looking for porn is that's what they want to see is pain or humiliation of the woman. 5% search for non-consensual stuff.
Oh,
5% of women's searches.
All right, now.
And the search rates for all of those terms, like non-consensual, forced, painful, crying, all these things, the search rates for all those terms, twice as common among women than among men.
Wow.
In their prawn searches.
Maybe they make this argument in the book, but could you make the argument that that percentage is so high because it's always been a male thing and the woman has been subjected to that kind of behavior and so that's all they know?
Of course you can, but isn't there something kind of unfalsifiable about that? And it becomes, well, okay, then we just explain away every finding. I mean, in other words, if you've come up with the predetermined conclusion, it's all the man's fault.
Right.
Then you'll slap that on every bit of data. There are, I thought this is really fascinating. The term gay is 10% more likely to complete searches that begin, quote, is my husband. The second place word is cheating. Second place word is cheating. It's 8 times more common to query,
is my husband gay,
than it is my husband an alcoholic? And it's 10 times more common than depressed. So it shows you what women are worried about with their husbands. Gay is the number one search term to complete, is my husband blank.
Wow.
Gay.
All right, and then there are twice as many complaints that women have that a boyfriend won't have sex than that a girlfriend won't have sex. Once again, the cultural narrative is that, she's never in the mood, right?
She's always got a headache.
She's always got a headache, so on and so on. But actually, the reverse is true when it comes to Google. Twice as many complaints that a boyfriend won't have sex than a girlfriend won't have sex.
Interesting.
Men Google more questions about their penis than any other body part.
That's believable.
Men conduct more searches for how to make their penises bigger than how to tune a guitar, how to make an omelet, or how to change a tire. Men's top Googled concern about steroids isn't whether they may damage their health.
No.
It's whether taking them might diminish the size of their penis. For every search a woman makes about a partner's phallus, men make roughly 170 searches about their own phallus. So we always talk about men. Once again, cultural narrative is, women are, they're interested in size. They're really into size. And men are way more into size than the women are.
Right.
170 times more into questions about size than women are. More than 40% of complaints about a partner's penis size is that it's too big. So when women are searching about men's it's about 40% of them complaining that it's too big. Yet only 1% of men's searches looking to change their penis size seeks information on how to make it smaller.
Right.
I remember the whole thing just being really big, too big for me.
I can't believe it's 1%.
You think that's crazy that any man would think about shrinking it? And then when it comes to men searching about their penis, size is the thing that they're worried most about. When women are searching for information about their private, you're not going to like what their number one biggest concern is.
Does it concern rejuvenation?
No.
Is it some kind of infection?
No. It's about, I'll just think of your nose. If you were to zero in on one of your senses.
Mm-hmm.
Women are most frequently concerned about the scent. The search terms: fish, vinegar, onions, ammonia, garlic, cheese, urine, bread, bleach, fecus, sweat, metal, feet, garbage, and rotten meat are all associated terms.
Oh my God.
Feet. Now, men make roughly the same number of searches about a girlfriend's V as women do about a boyfriend's penis. So it's men aren't doing a whole lot of searches for it, and women aren't doing a whole lot of searches for men's penises. But when men do search about a partner's V, it's usually to complain about what a woman worries about the most, which is the odor. And men mostly are trying to figure out how to tell a woman about the odor without hurting her feelings. That's what they're searching for.
Rugi's batting average?
Yeah, Rugi. How to tell her about her Rugi without hurting her feelings. So that's a little troubling. This is actual information from the big data that Google has collected.
Take that for data.
I told you guys about the scarring incident I had some 25 years ago on a spiral staircase. Remember that?
Yeah, I've tried to forget.
That one story you told has ruined probably 25% of my sex life.
Yeah.
What was it again?
Didn't Corby have a story like that too?
What was it again?
Yeah. I just followed someone up a spiral staircase that was not having a good day. Let's just put
not
it,
a man. It was a...
Right. Right.
And... Your olfactory gland was assaulted.
Oh, yes, tremendously. Yes.
And I'll add one little funny detail that was gleaned from this data. Men make as many searches looking for ways to perform groral on themselves as they do how to give a woman an organism.
Boy, the idiocracy is so here. So here.
They're just as interested in doing that to themselves as they are in giving a woman.
Is this the book you read about to the end of days? Seeing all this data that this guy came up with?
Oh, no. There were many other books about the end of days. I read about artificial intelligence and so on. But anyway, the book is called Everybody Lies. And there's tons of other fascinating. I just read some sex stuff for you. But it's also about how the big companies, the biggest companies in the world, are investing billions of dollars in how to control us. And that was what was the most disturbing in this book to me, is about how we're toast. We're done. Because we are being gamed all the time by the devices that we are keeping in our hands and that they've captured us, and how they manipulate us. And they've put artificial intelligence, which is going to be the biggest breakthrough in humankind, and artificial intelligence is being used just to make us worse people.
Yeah.
And be more disconnected and more connected to a device.
Fight the power.
Game over, man.
But it's impossible to battle. We are going to lose this.
You know, you brought that up a couple of days ago, and I was thinking a lot about that because on vacation, because I was in such a remote place, Alaska, I bet I was only connected 10% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that trip, 90% of that trip, I had no cell service or no Wi-Fi, and the only thing I used my phone for was a camera. And it was so liberating.
It is.
To not be in touch with anybody.
If you've ever lost your phone, you know the... You, first of all, you know the terror of losing the phone. And then after that, you experience the joy of, hey, I went a day and a half without a phone, and it was great.
It's so great.
And think about how parenting has changed now. How many parents you see, they're all on their dopamine devices, ignoring the kids.
Yep.
It has really fundamentally changed family dynamics.
Yeah.
Not for the better.
No, not for the better. Everybody Lies. It's a good book.
All right, that's The Corner.